one of my earliest memories from a time before I even went to school. I was certainly preschool, not sure how old. But I have a memory of going to my grandmother's house. She lived in the same town that I grew up in. And she lived in a house that was built by her father. And behind the house was a garden that my grandmother's mother had planted. And I remember this one occasion, being there and walking into the yard near that garden. And I was with my father, and just beyond the garden was a tree stump, a tree that had been cut down a long time before. And I remember being fascinated to see that from that stump, there were these green shoots, from something that to me looked absolutely dead. There was an attempt at new life. The tree was trying to grow itself again. Now, I think those shoots were just perpetually cut down, and then a few years later, my grandmother moved, and I have no idea about that stump now. But I remember being captivated by that notion that from something seemingly so dead could spring green, new life. Isaiah expresses that same kind of image in our lesson today. And Isaiah is expressing his hope for the people of Israel. And that hope is expressed by that image of a stump, seemingly dead, but from which comes a new shoot. Isaiah says, "A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." Now, Isaiah is expressing his hope that a new leader for the people will come, that the king at the time has not been faithful, has not done God's will. And so Isaiah is hoping that maybe even the next king will be a faithful leader, rising from the house of Jesse, rising from David's line, that the next king might be that shoot coming off the stump of David. We, however, understand this prophecy as being about Jesus. Those of us who follow Jesus understand that he is that shoot that comes out of that stump. He is the one, the righteous Son of God, the Prince of Peace coming from the house of David. Isaiah never lived to see the fulfillment of his prophecy, but we certainly believe we have. And so we understand that Jesus is the one who comes, that from what seems dead or is even in fact dead, new life is possible. We see in this prophecy Jesus, the one who comes to us putting on human flesh and dwelling among us, the one who enters human history. We see in this prophecy fulfilled in Jesus, the one who comes embodying the very love of God, and the one who goes to the cross where he dies and is on the third day raised, bringing from death new and eternal life. Isaiah goes on to tell us that when this new leader is coming, this one that Isaiah is prophesying, the one who will be the faithful follower of God, who will bring in God's justice, when that happens, the very creation itself will be transformed. Isaiah has this image in the lesson of enemies living together in peace, of even predators living in peace. Those predators who would consume other animals will eat straw, and they will all live together in harmony. A child can play near a dangerous serpent and not be harmed, not be killed. Isaiah sees a time when the whole creation is going to be made new, as if the Garden of Eden itself is restored, where God's intention for the creation comes to pass. And in that renewed creation, all will live in harmony with God and one another, and all will be made whole as God intends. Now, certainly we know, though we live on this side of the death and resurrection of Jesus, this vision, this longing of Isaiah's has not come to pass. It remains God's intention. But we live by hope, trusting that in hope, glimpses of God's kingdom can break in even now, that in the face of sin and evil in this world, we can live by the kingdom, rather than giving in to any despair or anxiety that we might know in our world around us. We can live by hope. We can live trusting that God is acting, We can put our trust not in violence or force or power exercised over people, but in God's love, trusting that God has power to transform this world, trusting that the evil powers of this world will not reign forever. And so we're called to believe that God can transform the brokenness of our lives and of this world, even bringing forth that shoot of new life from what is dead. This season of Advent, I think, offers us a time to reorient ourselves, to come back to the truth of God, to come back to that promise that God desires to gather all people into one kingdom. That promise that the ways of God are not the ways of this world. One of the central figures of our Advent, we hear about him both this week and next, is John the Baptist. That one who comes proclaiming that the kingdom of God is near. It is here now. It's not some far-off time or event. It's breaking into the present. And John comes with his message, that call to repent. Now, repentance can be a tricky thing. We all know that we fall short of the glory of God. We all know that we sin and we need to repent. But what I think John is not calling us to do is to have deep feelings of guilt that overwhelm us or call us to any sense of being unworthy. Rather, this repentance that John is calling us to is a time to realign ourselves, to reorient ourselves, to focus ourselves on Jesus, on that call of God that we have been given. And it's to allow God to work through the power of the Holy Spirit to transform us, to change us into the very people that God would have us be, so that we can live by the kingdom, and that we can proclaim the kingdom through the witness of our lives. The word that is used in today's gospel for repentance is a Greek word, metanoia. I've mentioned it before, and it has as its meaning not simply repentance, but a whole shaking up of things, turning to a new direction, turning around, going in a new way. And so it's that call to honestly examine our lives, to see how we've fallen short of God's call and the love of God made known to us, and then to accept God's forgiveness, and to recommit ourselves to walking in the ways of God, to being a people who bear good fruit, fruit of love and mercy and compassion, people who, like that faithful leader Isaiah longs for, the one we know is Jesus, people who work for justice, just as God desires justice for all people. In our gospel today are several images that Matthew offers, which I think are helpful as we move through this Advent season. The first is the image of the wilderness, which suggests a barren landscape, a stripping away of things. It also evokes images of the people of Israel as they leave slavery in Egypt. And for 40 years, God leads them through the wilderness. God leads them day and night, showing them the way. But the wilderness is also a place of freedom, where they rebel against God, where they sin and turn away from God. But the wilderness is a place where they come to realize this and they repent and they recommit to being obedient to following God. So the wilderness can be a place of stripping away, of seeing how we need to change, and then recommitting ourselves, placing our trust anew in God, trusting that God leads us, that God provides for us. Remember, in the wilderness, God provides the manna. And then when they get tired of the manna, God sends them quails because they want meat. And then God even gives them water when they are thirsty. The wilderness, that place where God provides for all the needs of God's people. Another image in today's gospel is that of baptism. We have John baptizing people for the forgiveness of sins. But John, as in all things with John the Baptist, is looking ahead to Jesus. Everything about him points to Jesus. And so that baptism of John anticipates the baptism that Jesus comes offering, which is more than just baptism for forgiveness of sins. It is, in fact, baptism leading to a new way of life. It's being incorporated into the body of Christ. It's an act where God lays claim to us, holds us forever, gives us new life and new identity, a life where we promise to put Jesus first. And so through the power of baptism, we are given the gift of Holy Spirit. John says that Jesus will come and baptize through the Holy Spirit and fire. That Holy Spirit is that very presence of God, as close as our breath, dwelling within us. So God calls us, God claims us, and that God gives us the Spirit to guide us, to lead us, that we can answer the call that we have been given. So through baptism comes that power to even become God's children, to live rooted in the Spirit of God. The final image in today's gospel is that of judgment and wrath, and this may be the least popular. Who wants to hear about judgment? Who wants to hear about a wrath that is coming? But I think what John is calling us to is to break with the past, to let go of those things, to cast off the ways we have lived that conform us to this world and draw us away from God. It's a call to let things be shaken up and changed. For it's an assertion that the world is not that power that has the final word. It is God who has the final word. And that word is love. And so this judgment is rooted in hope, in that promise of God's love which will transform us and the whole creation, ushering in a new heaven and a new earth, ushering in that very vision that Isaiah longs for. But it's certainly true, judgment is not a popular thing. And we can take judgment too far. It can lead to feelings where we are not worthy, to feelings that are too negative. And that's not what God is calling us to do. Austin Ferrer, who was a 20th century Church of England priest, an academic, he was known in his lifetime as an eloquent preacher. He was also a writer and a poet. And he wrote a book called The Crown of the Year, in which he talks about how it is that God comes to judge us. Let me share with you what he says. Advent brings Christmas. Judgment runs out into mercy. For the God who saves us and the God who judges us is one God. We are not even condemned by his severity and redeemed by his compassion. What judges us is what redeems us, the love of God. What is it that will break our hearts on Judgment Day? Is it not the vision suddenly unrolled of how God has loved the friends we have neglected, of how God has loved us and we have not loved him in return, how when we came before his altar, God gave us himself and we gave him half penitences or resolutions too weak to commit our wills. But while love thus judges us by being what it is, the same love redeems us by effecting what it does. Love shares flesh and blood with us in this present world, that the eyes which look us through at last may find in us a better substance than our vanity. Advent is a coming, not our coming to God, but God coming to us. We cannot come to God. He is beyond our reach. But God can come to us, for we are not beneath his mercy. God loves us so much as to come to us in love, in the present, in this moment where we are in our lives. God loves us and judges us by that love. And that judgment is to transform us, that we might be the people God calls us to be, a people who are focused on Jesus, a people who reorient our lives towards God, that we love as he loves, and knowing that we have nothing to fear and everything to anticipate. And so, on this second Sunday of Advent, let us heed the call of John the Baptist. I think he echoes the promise of this season, this holy season of preparation and watching. It is a time to recommit ourselves to trust in God and to allow ourselves to be purified by the fire of the Holy Spirit, to burn away the chaff and to reorient our lives to God, to what is essential. And so Advent offers this time to stop and to watch, to see God at work in the world around us and in our lives, to come into the wilderness and encounter God who comes to us with justice and mercy, who comes to us to comfort us in our trials, and then allow God to lead us in the way of Jesus, A way that makes real the impossible. A way that even brings life from death. That dead stumps can bring forth new growth. That God's abundant mercy and love can be made known in the barren wilderness. And so let us say yes to that holy invitation. And to know that the kingdom of God is indeed near as our ascent. And Jesus, in saying yes, will come to dwell with us and among us, all the while drawing us into eternity. Amen.